Now, that's not the case, but I just love the message that we're going to be hearing this morning. Will you bow with me in prayer? Let's ask God's help today. Father, we're humbled before your presence this morning. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And we're thankful, Lord, that because of Christ's advent, because of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in his incarnation here on this earth, God, that you have met us in a special way. We desperately needed you. You showed up, Lord, at just the right moment in time to be able to bring to us the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you came to seek and to save those who are lost. And Father, this world is so lost without you. So, Father, I pray for everyone in this nation, throughout the world, God, that has not come to an understanding of who you are, especially in this Christmas season. So many people battling Christmas. It's because, Lord, they don't want to kneel before the Savior. And as my brother said a moment ago, one day all of us will kneel. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher today, would guide us into truth, and would encourage us to walk out what we've heard. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You do have an outline provided for you at the back of your bulletin, if you take that right now and follow along with us. Also, under your chair is a hymnal. This is what a hymnal looks like. You wonder what this little book is under your chair. It's a hymnal. And on page 170, you'll find the hymn, One Day. We're going to sing this after the presentation this morning. So what we've done is we've taken these five stanzas and made them into 5 points in the message. And that in between each stanza, we're going to sing the refrain. And this is how the refrain goes. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. How many? That's the first time you ever heard that? Oh, only a couple. All right, well, now you've heard it. And now you can sing it with me as we get to that part of the service. I start the message this morning by asking you the question, have you ever, in your sleep, in the middle of the night, felt like you were falling? And you just kind of woke up with a start? I mean, you did that jerk motion because you felt like you were falling, and it could have been 10 feet or 50 feet or even a foot off the ground, and you woke up startled. Now, there's a story of a man, his name was Randy Reed, who was a 34-year-old welder on a construction site working near the top of a newly constructed water tower outside of Chicago, Illinois, when it's told that he slipped and fell 110 feet to the ground below. Barely missing rocks and debris, Reed landed on a 6-foot soft pile of dirt near the base of the tower. Within minutes, 911 was called and rescue workers were rushed to the scene. Reed only suffered some minor cuts and abrasions and a bruised lung, but no broken bones, thank the Lord. And on the way to the ER, Randy was heard to say over and over again, frantically, to the paramedics who were attending him, "Please don't drop me." Now, we think that that's rather strange. He just dropped 110 feet out of the sky. And here he is laying on a gurney in an ambulance, maybe 3 feet off the ground. And we say, why would you be concerned about being dropped? Well, he'd just fallen, and the fall broke his fall, all right? The ground broke his fall, and he was afraid of being dropped again. You know what? As we think of that story, all of us took a fall. Back in Adam, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, in Adam, all die. In fact, the greatest fall, recorded fall, in the history of mankind wasn't 110 feet. It was literally miles upon miles upon miles. As men fell from grace, they fell from perfection. There's no way that they could sustain that injury and come out alive. In fact, the Bible says that in Adam all die. We can't sustain that kind of a fall. But here's the thing that I want to share with you this morning. Jesus broke our fall. He became sin for us. And when we fall on Christ, He takes the fall. He takes the penalty. He takes the sin upon Himself. Thanks be to God for His marvelous gift. So on this Sunday morning, Christmas Sunday morning, I've got some great news for you. God has broken the fall for you. And we need to ask the question, when was the last time you gave God thanks for what He did for you on the cross of Calvary? We want to look at Romans chapter 8. Would you turn there with me? Romans chapter 8, and I know you just got comfortable, but would you stand with me again out of respect for God's Word? Romans chapter 8, we're going to start reading at verse 18, and go to the end of the chapter. Romans chapter 8, 18, to the end of the chapter. I'm reading out of the New King James. If your neighbor doesn't have a Bible, please share yours with them. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Some people call that global warming. Others call it climate change. We call it groaning. The groaning of the earth. And not only they, verse 23, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? I love this. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. Isn't it amazing the difference that one day can make? To be down one day is to be up the next. Have you ever had one of those days where you woke up and everything went from bad to worse? And you thought at the end of the day, I should have just stayed in bed. I should have pulled those covers just right up over my head and just said, day, go away. I'm not going to even deal with you. But it's amazing the difference that one day can make. I love that. As you know, this old hymn of the faith, many of you, this was written by John Wilbur Chapman, a Presbyterian minister who loved Christ He loved evangelism. He preached with D.L. Moody and with Billy Sunday and went home to be with his Lord on Christmas Day, 1918. This is a beloved hymn of the faith. First point, one day when heaven was filled with his praises. Think about that. Where was Jesus before his advent? He was in heaven. He was being celebrated by the countless billions of angels around the throne of God. What were they doing? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. What were they doing? They were praising and glorifying the precious name of Jesus. As we read, as was read for you by my brother just a moment ago, in Philippians chapter 2, Jesus didn't think robbery to be equal with God, and so he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant or a slave and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Imagine that. The creator of the universe who spoke the worlds into existence, he had everything he could have ever wanted. He had billions of angels at his disposal. They were all waiting with just a hovering attitude of, tell me what to do. And Jesus would dispatch his angels to take care of business. But one day, Jesus decided, before time, that he would be sent to this earth through a virgin, through Mary, and be born, taking upon himself, think about this, the gift. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. The gift, capital G, became man. What was the gift wrapped in? It was wrapped in human flesh. That was the wrapping paper that God sent his gift to. He sent the gift, Christ, to you and I, and he put him in the package of humanity. That's amazing. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men. My example is he. Living, he loved me. The birth of Christ is his incarnation. The word Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel, means God with us. God became fully man. He was already fully God. And in the hypostatic union, we see the bonding of 100% God and 100% man. I don't know how you get 200% in one person. But this was the person of Jesus Christ. The incarnation is the essential doctrine of the church. We believe that Jesus came in the flesh, that he was born of a virgin, that he was sinless and yet was fully man and fully God. John the Apostle tells us in the Gospel of John chapter 1 that he became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Paul tells us later in the book of the Philippian church that Jesus in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, the Bible says that he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross, a symbol that was despised in that day. The shepherds witnessed the angelic birth announcement of this long-expected Messiah wrapped in the covering of human flesh. He was born just as was predicted in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. The Bible tells us and predicted that he would be born in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. The story of Christmas is incarnation. God came to earth wrapped in the garment of fallen man. And yet he wasn't fallen because he didn't have an earthly father, because he came from a virgin birth and was conceived of the Father. There was no sin in him. You see, sin is passed down through the man. Women, you knew that for a long time, didn't you? That's who can be blamed. Adam, in Adam, all die. And from Adam on through to the present day, every child that's born is born with a sin nature because of the seed of sin in the man. God held Adam accountable. In Adam, all die. I love this word, incarnation. God came to earth. And in that one day, the earth would never be the same. In fact, all of time was split into two. Before Christ, B.C., and after Christ, Anno Domini, at just the right time, in just the right place, to just the right couple, to just the right shepherds, to just the right wise men, a Savior was born. And we think that this is a dark time right now in America's history and throughout the world, but it was a dark night that the star appeared. And angels came and they said to the shepherds, today, good news, there is born to you today in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Sing with me. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sin far away, rising he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Number two, second stanza. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins. My Redeemer is he. Refrain, dying he saved me. The death of Christ, his propitiation. Say that with me. Propitiation. You kind of need to put your hand over your face when you say that so you don't spit on the person behind you or in front of you. Propitiation. That simply means satisfaction. The anger of God, the wrath of God, was satisfied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus became sin for us. We are saved from the penalty of sin. And the Word of God tells us that God is angry with the sinner every day. You don't hear that from America pulpits today. You hear a lot about the fact that God is good and God is loving and God is merciful and God is gracious. You hear all those things, and those are all true statements. But God is also just. And God is also angry with the sinner. And when we sin, God somewhere in heaven says, who's going to pay for that? Who's going to pay for that? Somebody's got to pay for sin. And a righteous, holy, just God requires that somebody pay for our sin. Now, folks, you can put it on the credit card of your life and pay for it throughout eternity, but it will take all of eternity and then some, and you'll still not even begin to pay the penalty for your sin. Or you can let Jesus pay for it. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. I love that. Propitiation. The consequence for our sin is spiritual death as well as physical death. It's appointed unto men once to die, the Bible says, and after this, the judgment. And then there's the second death, which is hell. The original sin is the fall of Genesis chapter 3. In Adam, all die. And in the fall of Adam, we've been falling ever since. We need somebody to catch us, somebody to break our fall. And we ask the question again, isn't it amazing the difference one day can make? Listen to this. Before the cross of Christ, it was the blood of bulls and goats, rivers of blood, oceans of blood, and it still wasn't enough. And one day, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And Jesus hung on the cross for your sin and my sin, and he took away the sin. The anger of God, the just, righteous anger of God, was propitiated. It was satisfied in the death of Christ. That's an incredible thought. Before the cross, we had no access behind the veil of the Holy of Holies in the temple. But after the cross, one day later, the veil had been rent from the top to the bottom, giving us access of every woman, man, and child into the very Holy of Holies, into the very mercy seat of God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. That is what God has done in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Excuse me. A story is told of a father and a son that were on an extended road trip, and somehow a bee had gotten into the car, and the boy was swatting this bee, and the bee was getting angrier and angrier and more aggressive. And finally, as the bee was flying around the car, The doors and windows, obviously, were closed. When it hit the inside windshield dashboard, the father calmly reached up, grabbed the bee with his arm and his hand, didn't crush it, and then let it go. Opened the window and let it go. As the bee went out the window, it flew around the head of the little boy, and he's swatting this bee, trying to keep himself from being stung, and father lays his hand on the son. He says, "Look," and he opened his hand, and the stinger was there. The father took the sting. Jesus took the sting of death away from you. And he took it away from me. And I think of that illustration. I think, thank you, Lord, for the grace of Jesus Christ that has freed me from the wrathful, righteous anger of God that I deserve. The Lord Jesus wants us to understand that he loves us as that father. Titus 3, 5, and 6 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, you know the verse, for by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any of us should boast. The righteous anger of God was what? Propitiated. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Third stanza, one day they left him alone in the garden. One day he rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er his tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is he. Notice that in stanza one it says, my example is he. Most people would say in America today, Jesus, he's a good example. But they don't know him as Lord, right? And then second stanza, my Redeemer is he. Third stanza, my Savior is he. Refrain, buried he carried my sins far away. The burial of Christ is not just intercession, but it's identification with Christ. Not only the being saved from the penalty of sin, now we're saved from the power of sin, from the suffering of sin. We no longer have to sin. In intercession, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is ever living to make intercession for us. He's praying for us, even now. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 6 reminds us that we're now dead to sin because we've been planted with Christ in his life, death, and burial. We also are dead to sin as he was. The power of sin is defeated and crushed and done away with. We are no longer sin's slaves. Paul understood what it meant to live the Christian life. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What did Paul say? His daily prayer was, I die daily. Why did he say that? Because he realized that he needed to identify his life with Christ. He needed to get out of the way so that Christ could live his life out through Paul's life. It wasn't Paul that lived the Christian life. It was Christ in Paul. It's not you that lives the Christian life. Folks, listen, you can't live the Christian life. It's impossible to live the Christian life. You will fail if you try harder to live the Christian life. You have to die. Amen. I die daily. I have to get out of the way. There are times even in this last week and possibly even in this coming week where you're going to be severely tested and you're going to want to say something and you're going to want to respond in a certain way, and you just need to look up to God and say, God, help me to keep my mouth shut, and Lord, help me to have a righteous, godly, Christ-like attitude. And what happens at that moment? It's no longer you, but Christ in you, the hope of glory that will shine out through your life. Even if you make a mistake, and even if you do fail, and even if you do say something that you shouldn't say, you can still say, you know what, please forgive me. I just said that, and that was sin, and I asked God forgiveness in just that split second. Now I need to ask you, would you forgive me? And walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, people will respond to that. They will see that. They will forgive you if you simply show them the fact that you need forgiveness. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Kind of in Romans today. Romans chapter 5, I want us to share with you the first 8 verses of this great chapter. In identification, Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, Paul says, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will someone die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Folks, listen, we have a hope that won't disappoint. What is the world looking for right now in the response of Christians to all of the anti-Christian dialogue that's going on right now? They're wanting to see grace. They're wanting to see kindness. They're wanting us to stand for truth. And there's a way to do that without being offensive. We don't have to wake up every morning and say, you know, it's my duty today to be as offensive as I possibly can be. The gospel by itself is offensive. And when you just preach the cross, people will be offended by that. You don't have to go out of your way to offend them. They'll be offended because the cross of Christ is an offense. It's a stumbling stone, the Bible says. So let's sing again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Stanza 4, thank God there's only one left, right? One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he rose over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Isn't it amazing the difference one day can bring? The refrain, rising he justified freely forever. Jesus said when at the graveside of his dear friend Lazarus in John chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, speaking to the sisters of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, he said these words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha responded, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. What does it mean to be justified? To be justified is to be declared not guilty. It is to stand before the bar of heaven with God as your judge and Satan as your accuser. And when the verdict comes down guilty, we can respond because we've placed our faith in Christ alone for salvation. No, I'm not guilty. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I've been declared righteous. I've been forgiven. All of my debt, all of my sin was laid on Christ. He became sin for me. I wear the robes of Christ's righteousness, and by his stripes, I am spiritually healed and forgiven. Sin, death, condemnation has lost their grip on me. I am free. People talk about living free. You are not free. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 that we are slaves of sin and of unrighteousness. The only time you can get to be free is when you become a slave of Christ. And Christ sets us free from the law of sin and death. We are free not to sin. Christ defeated Satan on the cross. The Bible tells us that Satan bruised the heel of Christ. But guess what Christ did? He crushed the head of Satan. And that one final act happened on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you, Lord, for the resurrection. Jesus conquered sin and death and the grave when he raised himself from the dead. Isn't it amazing the difference that one day can bring? In just one day after the resurrection of Christ, everything changed, even the day that we worship him. From Saturday, the Sabbath, to Sunday, the first day of the week, the resurrection Sunday, in remembrance of him. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sin far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glory will shine. Wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. What's the refrain? One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Imagine that. The day when Christ comes back. Romans 8, 28 through 30. We understand that the rest of chapter 8 is God telling us. And he's whispering into our ear, I won't let you fall. He broke our fall. He took it. He took it once. He can do it again. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what's happening to you this coming week. I don't know what you're looking for on the horizon, the difficulties that are coming onto your life. But listen to this. God took your fall once. He can take it again. The birth and life of Christ is his incarnation. My example is he. The death of Christ is his propitiation. He's my redeemer. My redeemer is he. The burial of Christ is identification. My Savior is he. The resurrection of Christ is justification. My Lord evermore. And the second coming of Christ, glorification, is this Jesus is mine. Now, isn't it amazing the difference that one day can make? Each day created by God to reveal God's providential plan to be lived out in that day. Nothing happens to us that doesn't pass through God's hand. We can be confident because Jesus took the fall for us. And when we feel like God has abandoned us, the Lord taps us on the shoulder and he opens his hand and he says, I took the sting. See the holes in my hand and my feet and my side? I took the sting of Satan and of sin upon myself so you didn't have to. Now's the moment, the Bible says, for salvation. Do you know Jesus, as we heard just a moment ago? Or are you going to take the fall yourself? It's a decision that you're going to have to make for yourself. And the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation. And Jesus, God is saying right now, who's going to pay for your sin? It's your choice. You can confess Christ as Lord. You can repent of your sin. You can turn from the unrighteousness and the evil of your heart. Or you can say, I'll do it on my own. Thank you. You know the interesting thing? We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. You think, how could God be a God of love and send people to hell? The truth is that God loves us and he takes us and he purchases us with a great price. He took the sting for us. But the truth be told, all of us, if God had not saved us, if God had not brought us to a place where we had the faith to believe, all of us as enemies of God would willingly, joyfully, triumphantly go to hell and say, God, leave me alone. You know, God says, okay, I'll leave you alone. And then God gets blamed for leaving them alone. It's like God can't win. You know, leave me alone, God. Okay, I'll leave you alone. They go to hell. God, why'd you leave me alone? God just simply takes what's already in our heart. And had God not given us the heart of faith, we would all walk away from Him. Folks, listen, I'm grateful this morning that one day the trump will sound for His coming, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Christ in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's turn in our hymnals to number 170, and let's sing this hymn together, okay? Would you stand with me? And let's sing it. Number 170. Now you know a little bit about the story and the difference that one day can make, right? One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sin far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed Him to die on the tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sin far away. Freely forever, one day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day they left Him alone in the garden. One day He rested from suffering free. Angels came down o'er His tomb to keep vigil. Hope of the hopeless, my Savior is He. Sing it like you mean it. Ready? Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sin far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose, over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sin far away. Rising He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with
His glory will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one's bringing. Glorious Savior, this Jesus is mine. Living, living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day.